Chapter 1. Godforged. The bolt struck Vandus Hammerhand like a spear flung from the heavens. First there was light, a searing luminescence so bright it eclipsed all sense of being and self. Then pain brought him back with white daggers of pure agony. Heat, fury, and the drumbeat of immortal vigor rushing through his veins reached a crescendo so loud it turned into deafening silence. Then peace, a feeling of true solace and quietude. Vandus would come to learn it was always this way. This is what it meant to be born of the storm, and born by the storm. Reforged, wrought anew, brought back. This is what it was to be eternal. But as with all such godlike deeds, this apotheosis did not come without a price. Before. After defeating Corgus Kul, the Hammerhands went north. Though the Gortide were scattered, their ranks would swell again. The war against the Dominion of Chaos was far from over, but Sigmar's Stormcasts had won a great victory at the Gate of Azir. Now that momentum had to be seized upon, were it to mean anything. And so the Hammerhands went northward. Thousands clad in unalloyed Sigmarite crossed the igneous delta. Liberators, bloodstained and begrimed by war, marched with grand hammers slung across the burnished plate of their shoulder guards. Dour retributors strode in grim silence, their massive lightning hammers held firm across their chests. Above the infantry, retinues of unearthly prosecutors had taken wing and soared across the blighted sky. At the clarion sound of the warrior herald's war horns, their masked brethren below would close ranks and raise shields, knowing an enemy horde approached. There had been many enemies, for the igneous delta and its surrounding lands were overrun by those bound in blood to Khorne. It would fall to other Stormcast Eternals to hold the realm gates they had opened to Azir. At least now they had a foothold at the Brimstone Peninsula, something to defend. But the vanguard could not rest. They had to forge on, despite the lead in their limbs. Only when night had fallen and they reached the crags did they stop to make camp on a sheltered plateau of rock. Here the army had mustered, whilst a few of its leaders had walked up the shallow incline to a second smaller plateau, from which they might gauge the best route onwards.
"Oh, this is a strange land," murmured Decanthos,
as he regarded the rime of frost around the fingers of his gauntlet. He clenched it in a mailed fist, shattering the ice that had formed.
"Agreed," said Sagus, leaning on the head of his lightning hammer as the caustic wind of the delta tried to sear his armour.
The air was rank with the stench of blood and cinder. It carried a foul cawing, like the mockery of crows, only deeper, as if uttered from the throat of a larger beast. Several carrion creatures had already been seen. The hammers of Sigmar had left the scorched desert behind them. Here, on the rugged crags and low hills, a deep winter prevailed. Snow hid some of the land's deformity, its hillocks like the petrified claws of some ancient leviathan, a golem trapped forever in its final moments of agony. Eight stunted crests rose up from the smothering tundra like horns, and there were hollow cavities where eyes might once have been.
"It is a grim place, enslaved to darkness," uttered Vandus, his voice deep, his distaste unmasked.
From the edge of a rocky promontory, he looked out across the igneous delta and beyond. Swathes of forest colonized much of the eastern lands, but the trees looked unnatural, bent and tortured, their limbs petrified. The Lord Celestine's eyes narrowed. He could have sworn he saw something stir within the dark heart of the forest. His gaze went skyward to an even greater and larger mountain fastness than the one his warriors had camped on. Clad in ice, it appeared more like a glacier. Oily mists crept from its footings, lathering the earth below in a foul tar. Further north, Vandas discerned the forbidding silhouette of an immense tower, obscured behind scads of pyroclastic cloud. It was one of 8 brass towers that surrounded Kul's domain. Here, then, was their God-given mission, though he knew his own destiny lay elsewhere.
"Rank, indeed," snarled Vandas, as he turned away to speak to his men. "But there is worse below."
He gestured for Decanthos and Sagus to join him at the cliff edge, certain those below them would not notice 3 figures watching from on high. Sagus's gauntlets cracked loudly as he clenched the haft of his hammer, and when the retributor spoke, it was with barely restrained anger.
"Wretched filth. I would see them seared from this land, scraped away like dirt from a boot."
Decanthos had no words. He merely stared through the lifeless eyes of his mask, his body trembling with righteous anger. Far below, in a smoke-choked basin of tar-black rock, shawled by drifts of ash and snow, were mortal followers of Khorne known as the Bloodbound. Hordes of the warriors had gathered to rest after a long march. A great fire burned, spilling a column of smoke that almost reached the promontory where the stormcasts were watching. Garbed in spiked leather and furs matted with dried blood, the tribesmen left their arms and torsos exposed. These Vandas and his men had come to know as Blood Reavers. The lesser of the vast and mighty Gortide, they were nonetheless brawny and muscular fighters. What they lacked in skill, they made up for in aggression and devotion to Khorne. Bellowing and fighting, they revelled around the fire. Long shadows cast by their bodies contorted in the fell light, transformed into an echo of what they might become should they live long and worship with enough devotion. A Blood Reaver's altar was the battlefield, his offerings slaughter and death. They were a rabble, but a dangerous one. Their blades were thick and sharp, notched by battle and stained black with the blood of innocence. But of late they had grown arrogant and complacent.
"When do we bring the storm's wrath, my Lord Silistant?"
Decanthos said at last. "Soon," said Vandas, half turning as he felt the presence of eyes upon them.
"After I have consulted with our Lord Relictor."
All 3 warriors turned as one to face Ionis Cryptborn. The Lord Relictor emerged from the shadows as if he were a part of them, and they him. Morbidity clung to Ionis like a curse, and his skull-helmed visage gave him a grim aspect that was entirely in keeping with his demeanour. Ionis gave a shallow bow, disturbing the oath scrolls attached to his golden warplate. He rasped, his voice like the last stirrings of a disquiet spirit.
"I crave your ear, Lord Hammerhand."
Hanging his Tempestos hammer Heldensen on his belt, Vandas nodded at the other 2 warriors, who departed with muttered reverence to the relic keeper. Only once they were gone, back down to the plateau where the army mustered, did Vandas speak further.
"I shall not be dissuaded, Ionis," he warned.
"You have spoken to me of the Red Pyramid of Skulls, and I now understand that is not something you can ignore,"
said Ionis, slowly taking off his helm to reveal a gaunt, sinister-looking face.
"I only wish our paths were conjoined, that you, like I, were headed to the Brass Towers, as Sigmar has ordered."
There was rebuke in Ionis's tone, regret that they would be parted for the battles to come. It sat ill with him, but his Lord Celestant had fixed his gaze on thwarting Khorgos Khul and destroying the dread Gate of Wrath.
"But I know your purpose is unwavering, my friend,"
Ionis concluded. Vandas nodded. He was smiling as he turned towards Ionis and removed his war helm, holding it in the crook of his arm. In sharp contrast to the Lord Relictor, Vandas had a noble face, and the clean, chiselled features often represented in the statues of heroes. Those monuments to old glories, to an age torn down, were gone. But Vandas would see them rise again. He extended a hand to Ionis.
"Fate shall see us together again, brother."
The corners of the Lord Relictor's mouth only curved up a little, but he clasped his Lord Celestant's forearm in the manner of warriors.
Aye, the tower shall fall, and I'll make for your brotherhood. United, we shall triumph against any fell beings who claim lordship over these lands. The dominion of chaos is at an end.
Vandus's good humour faded, as he was reminded of what he had seen and the desperate battle they had fought and won at the Gate of Azir. It is possible he survived, Vandus asked.
Cool.
Who else?
He lives.
Vandus raised an eyebrow. You sound certain, brother.
It is a feeling. Nothing more.
Vandus caught an inkling that it was much more, but kept his silence for now. The ways of the Relictor were veiled to him, and perhaps that was for the best. But if Kul did yet live, as Ionis professed, then that meant the vision could still be proven true. Vandus's head, cut off and brandished aloft by Kul, exulting as he capped his dread pyramid. I saw my own demise, Ionis, said Vandus after a moment.
The vision we spoke of, the one that is leading you to the Red Pyramid?
Vandus nodded.
And you would still step into Kul's domain, knowing it means your death?
I would. Ionis frowned.
But why? Unless you believe you can defy prophecy.
Have you not said before that we are architects of our own destiny? Ionis gave a curt laugh.
I say a great many things, but not all are intended to be heeded on face value alone.
I follow this path because I must, my friend. If I do not stop Kul, then who else will?
And if you challenge him, you may end up fulfilling his prophecy for him.
Then that is a chance I have to take. Ionis regarded the Lord Celestine for a moment, and not for the first time was reminded why Sigmar chose Vandus to be the vanguard of his storm.
Yes, I believe it is. Still, I hope he does not kill you, Vandus.
It was meant in humour, but Vandus grew serious. Are we truly immortal? If fated to die, can we?
We are as immortal as Sigmar's will. But even the God King does not always get his way.
Ionis gestured to the bloodbound they had come to vanquish, then to the land beyond, and all its perfidy, both seen and unseen. They stared at the revelling hordes below, and after a brief silence had passed, Ionis said,
They think they are the death of these lands. They think they have already won.
Vandus laughed.
They are not death, brother. We are death.
He slammed his helm back on, demonstrably belligerent, and turned at last to the Lord Relictor.
And it's past time that we dealt our gift to those heathens beneath us.
He raised Heldensen aloft, so the warriors amassing on the plateau would see it, and cried out in a clarion voice,
Stormcasts to arms! This night we mete out death and Sigmar's judgment!
A great cheer rose up from the golden throng, loud enough that the hordes below heard it. Some of the wretched tribesmen began to look up at the Stormcasts, who now emerged above them. Others scrambled for blades. A few even began barking orders.
Vermin, snarled Vandus,
as he felt the armoured tread of an entire chamber of hammers of Sigmar gather at his back. Ionis was at his side, skull-faced once more. It would be their last battle together for a while. If Sigmar willed it, their paths would cross again.
Scurry all you like. It will avail you nothing.
Heldensen flashed like a golden flame against the darkness. This time, more than 1,000 hammers joined it in salute. Ionis roared, unable to hold his righteous fury at bay a moment longer.
Smite them and cleanse this land!
And the storm descended on burnished wings and in a crushing tide of gold.